Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to What is Etiquette Anyways, the talk show, where we are making the world a polite place to live. We discuss a variety of topics and always enjoy interacting with our listeners. You may join the conversation live by calling 516-418-5894 or email your questions or comments to missdonnaspeaks@gmail.com. You may join the conversation live by calling 516-418-5894 or email your questions or comments to missdonnaspeaks@gmail.com. Now here's your host, John Maxwell, certified speaker, 25 plus years, master trainer and coach, Miss Donna.
Talk show. I'm Miss Donna. Today is Sunday, June 27th, 2021. We're broadcasting live from the beautiful city of Atlanta. It's been a great day today. I hope you've had a great one as well. Well, wow, listen, today we're actually continuing to celebrate fathers, as you may have heard with our opening number there. Since June is the month that we celebrate fathers, we're going to continue to do that this evening. And we're also going to be talking about second generation fatherhood. Second generation fatherhood. It is going to be a very interesting show. And listen, first what I want to do, I always want to do this at the beginning of the show, since the name of the show is What is Etiquette Anyway, I always want to answer that question. That would only be proper etiquette to do that. And I know we have new listeners listening each week. So that's one of the main reasons I like to do that. But etiquette is just simply a set of rules of behavior, and by using these rules, people make living with each other more pleasant and comfortable. The word etiquette comes from an old French word meaning ticket. It later came to mean a prescribed routine, especially of court behavior. Who we have to thank for this? Well, it is Charles I and of England, because they copied the rules of etiquette from the French court, and these rules became requirements of behavior everywhere. And I always like to send a kudos out to Charles I and II. I'm just so glad that they did that. Well, once again, as we continue to celebrate Father's, 2 weeks ago, we actually had our pre-Father's, we call it the pre-Father's Day show, because it was the week prior to Father's Day. And by the way, I hope you all had a wonderful Father's Day on last Sunday. I certainly hope that each one of you did. And so what we're doing is we're going to, we did receive some comments after that show, and so I'm going to read a couple, and then we're going to jump right into second generation fatherhood. So what I'm going to do really quickly, I just want to read a couple comments that we received. It says, Miss Donna, I really enjoyed your Father's Day show. I am grateful that you think of shining the spotlight on others. I've listened now for 2 years. Thanks again. And this came from Marty in Dayton. So, Marty, thank you for that. I thank you for certainly listening. And I have another one that I pulled. It says, Miss Donna, I didn't realize you celebrate it early, and I appreciate it. If it's okay, I want to wish my son a belated Father's Day. His name is Jerome Kinney. He's a great young man and dad to two girls. And this comes from Jarius. And so happy belated Father's Day at this point to you, Jerome Kinney. So thank you so much for certainly for sending that message in to share. We certainly do appreciate that. Well, we know that there are, even though we're still celebrating fathers, we know that there are millions of fathers as well as mothers who have been blessed to have children in two different generations. And some of you might be thinking, what does that mean? What? Well, listen, stay tuned. We're going to tell you in a minute. And right now I'm going to bring on my special co-host. His name is Walter Hickman. Walter, how are you?
I'm doing well, Ms. Donna. How are you today?
I'm doing well. Happy Sunday to you.
Happy Sunday to you, too.
Thank you so much. So excited to have you join us. And if you would, I'm just going to give you the opportunity to introduce yourself to our audience, if you would.
Okay. Yes. Hello, audience. My name is Walter Hickman, and I am married to Nzinga Hickman. We've been married for 9 years. We have four beautiful kids, 22, 18, 6, and 4. And 6 and the 4 are the two that we've had together. And she's been a great mother in love with my first two kids, and that's about it. That's about it.
Wonderful, and I must say that I do know both Walter and Nzinga, his wife, and they are beautiful, beautiful people, as well as their children as well. So now I know, guys, I jump right into this. I am so sorry. I'm so excited. Listen, you can certainly reach out to us. Our number is 516-418-5894, 516-418-5894, or you can send us an email to etiquetteladies@gmail.com. Okay, so sorry about that. You can tell I was excited. So I just jumped right in. Okay, so feel free to join us if you'd like. So You have a 22-year-old, 18-year-old, 6-year-old, and 4-year-old, correct?
Yes, that is correct.
So that is a breakdown, of course, guys, for you guys listening. It is a breakdown of children that are in two different generations. And how we're defining that is if you have older children or perhaps children that are considered grown, if you will, and then you have younger children. And so you could hear by the age range that they fit perfectly into this category. And that's why I knew that they would be perfect to speak on this topic today. So I'm just going to let you start. I know just whatever you want to share, and I know we do have some callers on as well. But and the callers, thank you. I'm certainly going to pick you up just shortly, and then you all can go ahead and continue sending messages. So what would you like to say when you're thinking of the topic or second generational fatherhood, and once again, guys, I know that mothers are the other part of the birth part of the second generation. So I'm not discounting mothers. I'm certainly including you, and you all feel free to reach out as well. So I don't want to say nope, just fathers. But what I want to give you an opportunity to just kind of talk from your heart for a second when you think of this topic.
When I think of the topic, I think of, being able to enjoy having fatherhood again, because looking at the ages of my two older children, they're young adults now. Right now, it's not something where I am trying to tell them what to do or trying to force them what to do. It's more of a friend relationship now. I can make suggestions. I can interject things that I observe that, may be detrimental to them, but they can take that advice. They can take or leave that advice. one of the things that my smaller children are getting that my older children did not get is a mature father. And I think maturity plays a big part in fatherhood. I think my maturation level was not very high when I had my first set of kids. I remember when my son got to the age where he liked video games, right? I go out and get him this PlayStation. No, actually, it was a Dreamcast, right? And I get the console, and I find myself picking the games that I like. So needless to say, he played what I wanted to play. So there was two kids on the sofa playing video games. And it was one of those things where I was still young, and I had just, my career was in its infancy, and I was more like an adolescent with some money, So everything that I felt that I needed as a child but didn't get material things, I just showered my kids with it. And that's not really showing any type of maturity. And I think it may have hurt them a little bit, but in the long run, now they're and adults, they are great kids, but I know I spoiled them in the beginning. And another thing that I didn't have back then was my spiritual relationship with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I went to church, but I didn't have that deep relationship that I have right now. So they really got a worldly dad instead of a fatherly father that tries to instill the morals and the values of God. I think when I made a mistake, I wouldn't apologize for it. If if I disciplined, it would come with immaturity, meaning I screamed or spanked, or when maybe just a firm lecture or talking to would have been suffice. So, and that's one of those things. Once I did get my relationship, once I did have that relationship with God, with the Lord, I had to actually, I was convicted by the Holy Spirit to go back and apologize to my older kids, and they were actually puzzled as to why I would apologize, because they felt like they had a great life. But I say, you know, because of the relationship I have and what I know now, even though you felt that way, there were some things that I could have done a whole lot better. And even with my children now, I'm still working on being a great dad, but at least I have the playbook. At least I'm referring to the playbook to raise them properly.
Very nice. Very nice, guys. And in case if you are just joining us, you're listening to What is Etiquette Anyway, the talk show. We are talking about second-generational fatherhood, or second-generation, if you will, fatherhood. And so I noticed that you said, I'm just going to back up for a little bit. I thought it was kind of cute that you said when with your son, your oldest son, that when you guys were looking for games, you were getting some of the games that you wanted to play. But I'm but I'm sure he was happy to play them too.
That's, oh, wow. Yeah, he was. He was. We actually have the same taste in video games.
So that was pretty cute, I think. And I think that's big what you said about going back. You just felt led or convicted to go back and speak to them and kind of apologize. And I just think that's big for any parent to do that, because, you know, oftentimes as parents we think, and I've heard parents say this in the past, they'll say, you know, well, I'm right because I'm no more than you and I'm your parent. And that's, you know, not always the case, you know. I think it's great, and it's very big and very humbling, I would say, that you went back to apologize to them, because you've gotten an opportunity now with your younger children to kind of reflect back. Mm-hmm. So I think that's really nice. And so I'm going to come to the phone. I don't want to keep you guys waiting any longer. I'm going to identify you by the last four digits of your phone number, and then we'll be more than happy to speak with you. So I'm going to start with extension 1429, extension 1429. Hello? Hello? Phone number is 1429. Hello? Okay, so they may just be just kind of hanging out listening, which that's perfectly fine. I'm going to go to another line. And, guys, don't be shy. You can speak right up. We'd love to hear your comments. It's 0670. Hello?
Yes, Donna?
Hello? Hi.
How are you? All right.
Doing great.
Responding to your earlier invitation.
I'm sorry, say that again. You sound a little far away.
I said I'm responding to your invitation to join in tonight and hear what Walter has to say.
Well, absolutely. We're glad that to have you listening in, and you're certainly, you're always welcome to share your comments as well. All right.
So it's a very interesting subject. It's the first time I've heard anybody speak about the challenges of raising two generations of children, and there probably are people listening that will benefit from what Walter has to say.
Yes, I believe that initially. Absolutely, and I know, and truly when I set the show up, it was a follow-up. It was going to be for a follow-up show to the initial Father's Day show, Pastor Williams, that you and I co-hosted together. But this morning, the Lord just dropped in my spirit, second-generation fatherhood. And I thought that was just, like, phenomenal because, of course, we know that there are millions of parents out there that have children into different generations. And so I'm sure that they will be blessed in hearing some of the challenges and some of the rewards as well. And so thank you. We're going to definitely hold you over on them as well, Pastor, okay? Thank you so much.
Okay, I was I certainly can relate to what Walter said in terms of learning or benefiting from what he experienced with his first group of children because he has reached a maturity, a chronological maturity, and also, most importantly, that he now has a closer walk with the Lord. So those are two major factors that certainly influence parents when they're raising their children, and the fact that Walter now can benefit from what he has learned and experienced, well, that's certainly an advantage for the second group that he is raising.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And listeners, I hope you were able to hear that. It's a little challenging hearing you because you sound like you're far away. You may be on speaker or Bluetooth perhaps. But because we know you always have a lot of wisdom, and we certainly want to be able to hear the wisdom that you share. Okay.
Okay. I'm enjoying.
Hello. Okay, now we can hear you a little clearer now.
Yeah, I say I am enjoying the show.
Wonderful, wonderful. Thank you so much, and we're going to keep you. Thank you. All right, so I am going to, here is a message here. It says, do you feel more confident as a parent now, more so than when you had your first children? If so, or not, why? And this comes from Sarah in Alpharetta.
I absolutely feel more confident now than I did back then when I was younger with my older children. Because when you have that walk with the Lord, you have that maturity level. You have that confidence. You have that boldness. And things that you don't understand or things that, comes up as an obstacle or a hurdle for you, you can, one, go to the Lord about it. And also, you have I'm blessed with a great spouse, a great wife that actually majored in child psychology. So she she's quick to tell me that's not the proper form of discipline. you need to take something away. Hollering and screaming won't do. So having someone like that in your corner to teach you and tell you, okay, this is the proper way to do it, it's a great help, and it helps me to be more confident, whereas, before, I wasn't walking with the Lord. I didn't have access to a child psychologist. I just went on what I learned from my parents, which wasn't really good. So.
Hey, Miss Donna, this is Nzinga.
I'm sorry. I was just getting ready to call for you.
Listen, I just wanted to call out. I don't know if you caught it, but that accent he did, I didn't appreciate that at all. I don't know if you caught that part. I didn't appreciate that accent. But yes, I am here, and I agree with him 100% when he said about, actually with the question you had, do you feel more confident? I see him feeling a lot more confident in the way that he raised the first two and the way that he's raising these now. I think he has used the mistakes and the flops and the good things to help guide now. And I feel like he cherishes fatherhood more now than he did before. You know, I think before it was kind of old school where it was like, well, I'm the father and I'm obligated to these rights because I'm the father. And almost like the kids were here for his benefit. And I think a lot of old school people feel that way. And now I feel like he realizes and appreciates fatherhood in the sense that he is here for the kids' benefit, and he is here to pour into them. He spends intimate time with them. Like he was saying before, it was the time that he spent was a lot. It was almost for his benefit, and it benefited the kids too, but that wasn't his mindset. Whereas now, you know, he's like pouring into the children and spending time with them in a way that impacts them and meets them at their need and not necessarily him at his. So he definitely is more confident, and he's a better parent for it.
Wow. Thank you so much for sharing. And so we want to keep you too as well. We're going to take a really quick break, and we are going to be right back, you guys. So please don't go anywhere. In fact, let some of your friends know that we are on, and I'm sure that they will certainly gain some great information from the wisdom that is being shared. So we'll be right back in just a moment.
Have you signed up for the Public Speaking Club yet?
Public Speaking Club? What's that?
It's the club Miss Riley teaches. You learn to speak comfortably in front of others, how to make introductions, how to introduce your parent to a friend, meetings, greetings. In fact, you learn numerous public speaking tips. Some of my favorite topics include impromptu speaking, how to have great posture and poise, and a lot more. And you learn how to have great social skills, all while gaining more self-esteem and confidence. It's so much fun.
As a parent, I know that academic skills coupled with social skills help make a child well-rounded. That's why I enrolled my children. They volunteer to speak at every opportunity. Their teachers brag on them all the time.
Wow. I'm Keyshaw to raise my hand in class, and I hope the teacher doesn't call on me. I want to join this public speaking club. I'll ask my mom.
Say goodbye to being shy. Sign up today for the Public Speaking Club at www.pagesetiquette.com. Once again, the website is www.pagesetiquette.com. Hurry, avoid the waiting list. This club fills up quickly. www.pagesetiquette.com. The doctor told Evelyn, I've got some good news and some bad news. The bad news is you have a tumor on your brain. The good news is the tumor is not cancerous. These words change Evelyn Cartwright's life forever. Will you choose to believe what God's word has to say about what you are facing, or will you choose to believe other sources? She and her amazing testimony was featured nationally on the 700 Club Christian Broadcasting Network. Follow her journey in her book titled, I Know What It Looks Like, But I Choose to Believe God, by Evelyn Cartwright. This is a small book with a huge message. Send your speaking and book order requests to efb1762@gmail.com. That's efb1762@gmail.com.
Over the past 13 years, Miss Donna, also known as Etiquette Lady, has remained committed to hosting her show on Blog Talk Radio. The What is Etiquette Anyway show has received countless accolades from listeners across the globe, mainly expressing their appreciation for the various wholesome content and how it has positively transformed and enriched their lives. This show is definitely fulfilling its purpose, to make the world a polite place to live by way of educating, inspiring, motivating, and encouraging. Since this show is being a blessing to you, we want to make sure we can continue, so we are thanking you in advance for your financial gifts. Your gifts will allow Miss Donna to continue to touch the lives of others. Please go to www.missdonnaspeaks.com. It's missdonnaspeaks.com. Click radio show, scroll to the bottom, and click donate. Thanks again for your generosity.
You are listening to What is Etiquette Anyway, the talk show. You may join the conversation by calling 516-418-5894 or email your questions or comments to missdonnaspeaks@gmail.com. Now back to the show.
All right, we are back. And in case you're just joining us, you are listening to What is Etiquette Anyway, the talk show. We are talking about second-generation fatherhood. We have Walter Hickman as our special co-host, and we've been joined by his wife, Nzinga Hickman. And we are learning a lot. And I'm going to go directly to some of the other messages that we have. Here's one that says, Miss Donna, thank you for this evening's topic. I really haven't heard anyone else cover it. My daughter married a man 26 years her senior, and she caught a lot of flack over it. People accuse her of being a gold digger, and that is not the case. They both have great careers. Although they've been married for a few years and have a seven-year-old, her husband's adult children have a problem with it. Any advice? The seven-year-old is his second-generation child. I'll remain anonymous. Okay, thank you so much for sending that in. And so what do you have to say, Walt? And I know Nzinga is still with us as well. So she's been basically, you know, they've been getting a lot of flack, she said, from it, and even from the adult children.
Well, one of the things that we've always done ever since, you know, my first, second gen child came about, we always included my first generation children in everything, whether it's holidays, whether it's family trips, whether it's just going up to see our extended family. We always had that inclusion. When we have family night and it's we're doing art or carving pumpkins, they are always included. And I think inclusion is the main thing that will it may not cure it all, but it will subside it. They will see that, hey, my dad didn't abandon me for his new family, part of that family. You have to make them a part of it. You have to make a special effort. Even if they say no, no, no a bunch of times, you keep asking. You keep asking. You include them. Oh, we're going to wherever, and we bought you a ticket. Are you able to go? Oh, I'm not able to go. Or, yeah, I'm able to go. Or at the last second, they say they can't go. Even after that, and you've thrown away your money for a plane ticket, you still include them because it's your obligation as a father to make sure that your kids feel like you love them and you love them unconditionally and there's no difference between them at all.
I would 100% agree with that. I think you hit the nail on the head. To his point, we made every effort, we continue to make every effort to make sure that the older kids feel included, even so much when we know the answer is going to be no, we say invite them anyway, just so that they know they have been invited, that they have been considered, even though we know what the response is going to be, mm-hmm. because we don't ever want them to feel that we are trying to make a difference, like where we have our family, which includes us four, and then they are additional on the side. We are a unit, and we move like such. We understand that they are adults and they have their lives and they're not always going to be available, and that doesn't offend us in the least bit, but we just try to make sure that they are always included, even when we know that they aren't going to be available. We still extend the offer and keep that door open. And we make sure that when they are around, our little ones know that, that's their brother, that's their sister. We encourage the bonding. We encourage the loving. We just try very hard not to make any difference amongst the two. The other part of her question, as far as people looking at her as a gold digger, I would say we dealt with a lot of that too, because Walt is a few years older than I am, and people and, you know, in-laws, you had a lot to say. There's absolutely nothing you can do about that. I think if you are genuine, if you are honest, if you are who you say you are, eventually those people will come around. And if they don't, then they don't. In my case, I love my in-laws to death. I believe that they love me genuinely. But it was hard in the very beginning. People, you know, perceived me as this young girl trying to come in on someone who was already established. And to her point, I had a career. I had my own home, my own cars. There was nothing that I was looking for Walt to get that I didn't have for myself. So I didn't understand where that was coming from, but I didn't focus on that. I continued to be myself. I continued to stretch out my hand and welcome them into our home. I, you know, sort of dusted the dirt off my back when it came to the backbiting and the fighting. I didn't have anything to do with it. I didn't have anything to say back. I walked as genuinely, as authentically and as honestly as I could, and I operated in the spirit of love, and I left everything else behind. I didn't have any comebacks for anyone. I didn't explain myself to anyone. I figured the Lord could show it and clear up the situation even better than I could. So I just lived my life the best that I could, and they came around. Like he said, we've been married 9 years now. I love my in-laws, and I know that they are in my corner, and we have a great relationship. So just keep the faith, keep strong, and push through. It'll work out.
And I really didn't understand why they thought that she was gold digging, because every time I went in my pocket, I pulled out nothing but coal. So.
Amen.
But anyway. I didn't understand that, but we got through it.
That was just a little too cute. But you know what? I think just because when there is a significant age difference, people just automatically go there. You know, they automatically go there. And I certainly thank you all so much for sharing. I'm sure a lot of people are being blessed, and I'm sure a lot of people are dealing with this or have dealt with it or will deal with it. And so that's why I'm just so, you know, I'm so grateful that we have you all on. To help with this. Here's one. It says, Ms. Donna, thanks for shedding light on this topic. Please ask your guests, how do you put a stop to negative chatter when a woman or a man has children in two generations? Thank you. And this comes from Doris in Atlanta. Thanks, Doris.
You know, I think the negativity for us as far as having the kids, it came with the first kid that we had together, and it was because of Walt's age. It was, you know, why would you want to do that? You're starting all over. It was a lot, mainly to him. I didn't get it because it was my first child. My family was extremely excited that I had found someone, fell in love, had got married, and was having a baby. So I didn't get anything on my end. He got it from his family and some friends. And I think that for them, I think it ended once they saw our family. I think people always had comments, and when our baby girl was born and they saw the love and the connection and the wholesomeness of it all, and the fact that, you know, we are both at the park running around playing with her and now our youngest boy, I think it all just stopped. No one says anything anymore. We didn't really have to fight that battle. I'm not sure exactly, and you could speak to this, Walt, exactly what your response was in the moment. But I would hear them say, well, why would you want to do that? Mm-hmm. And I can't remember what his response was, but it didn't linger. You know, once the kid is here and they see the love, I'm sure if our relationship was tumultuous and terrible, people might still have something to say, but since that wasn't the case, people kind of just shut up.
Yeah. And one of my response was, just so the listeners can know, I'm a stage 2 colon cancer survivor, and I've been in remission for 7 years. And 8 years, sorry, 8 years. And one of the things I used to say is it got me, instead of, you know, during my midlife crisis, I was on chemo. Instead of getting a Corvette, I wanted a baby. So I would joke about it, right? And then I would say, that's just what I wanted. You know, it's not like I you know, have to have someone else take care of it, or I'm asking the government to take care of it. This is my choice. This is my life, and this is how I want to live it. And when you're firm with your response, and they see that, okay, this, he explained to me that this is his life and he's going to live it the way he wants to live it, then they really don't have anything to say about it. And then, you know, after that response, we turn right back around and have another child 2 years later. So that was almost like, okay, I really, really don't care what you think. you know, that's just being confident in the decision that you have made to have another child. Being confident in it, not taking the criticism seriously, because usually it's coming from a trying to be jovial. Oh, man, you're old. What are you trying to have a baby for? Ha, ha, ha. Well, man, you know, hey, chemo does that to you. So you just brush it off and keep it moving.
I love that. I love that. Midlife crisis. I love it. I don't want a Corvette. I want a baby. I love it. I'm sure people are thinking like, they're, oh, wow, that is really good. That's good. And congratulations on
thank you.
Eight years, yeah. It's been, I think that's priceless. I'm sure people are thinking, oh, now that is good.
Yeah.
And there are probably some women out there that are saying, yeah, I wish that's what my husband would have had instead of getting a Corvette, and then he ended up just, you know, going down the list of things.
Right.
So that was pretty cool. I like that. So, guys, listen, if you're just joining us, where have you been? Okay, but no worries. You'll be able to go back and listen to the show in its entirety. But we're talking about second-generation fatherhood, and we're talking about some of the things that, you know, one deals with, or the couple deals with, when deciding to have, you know, second-generational children. So, and one of the things that both Walt and his wife Nzinga were saying that has helped them is inclusion, and that's helped making sure that they include all the children, that so no one feels excluded, because oftentimes when children feel excluded, you know, they kind of shut down, and then there's just a lot that goes on to that with the stigma. So I think that's beautiful. And I know, I believe Nzinga said, or Walt, or you both, basically, because you're sounding like you're both doing the same thing, and that's operating in the spirit of love. When you're surrounded by negativity, because people are going to talk. That's just what they do, and especially if they're hurting, you know, because hurt people hurt people, and so Yeah. You know, if they don't agree with it, then it's like, you know, you shouldn't be doing it, you know. But instead of, and I was always taught that if you can't say something nice, don't say anything at all, just period.
Mm-hmm.
But unfortunately, that doesn't always happen. And people will talk and they'll chatter and so on and so forth. And for you that may have missed about the gold digging thing, when you hear this, Walt did tell us, he was like, hey, I was pulling coal out of my pocket. So she was not trying to gold dig anything. So that was cute too. So guys, so yeah, so there is, you know, we try to make sure that we find, comedy, and we keep it light. Because we know that, you know, it can be a very serious, hurtful kind of thing to hear a lot of negativity. But, you know, once you have geared yourself up knowing that, you know, hey, you guys can say what you want, and we're just going to do what we do. And if you come around, fine. If you don't, then you know what? That's fine as well. Here's one that says, Miss Donna, thank you for talking about this. I am a product of a second generation. When my mom had me, I already had a 22 and a 20-year-old sister and brother. People always mistake me for being one of their children. I was embarrassed, and some people would ask if my mom was my grandma. She would be embarrassed. How can we stop being embarrassed and be proud? Thank you. And this comes from Sherry in Dallas. And
I'm going to tell you right now. My kid, even my grown kids are embarrassed to me. So mm-hmm. I don't know if that'll ever end. I'm sorry, Sherry.
But that's common, though, right? That's really common.
Yeah, it's common to be embarrassed of your parents. You know, mm-hmm. I definitely didn't want my dad coming around wearing high mm-hmm. waters and white socks. You know, to my games and stuff. So, you know.
But you know, when I had my son, after having my second child, I thought about that. I thought, what are people gonna say? My husband is this old man, and here I am with these little babies, mm-hmm. and they're going to be looking at him like, and I think he even said, he's like, I'm going to be the grandpa daddy.
Yeah, where, grandpa daddy.
I look like your grandpa, but actually the daddy. and I thought about that. We thought about that for a while.
Uh-huh.
And I'm not sure how Walt reconciled it, because we hadn't thought it, talked about it. But for me, I just thought, my children are such a gift, and I absolutely adore them.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I love them to the
mm-hmm.
moon and back, and I enjoy every bit of mm-hmm. their existence.
Right.
And if this is the man that God has blessed me with, and if this is the situation that God has aligned me to be in, where it's not just Walter Hickman, but Walter Hickman, older than I am,
mm-hmm.
and father of my children, and who am I to be ashamed of something that the Lord has put together? So I literally had to just sort of embrace it. I just embraced the fact that my husband is older, and I'm like, and you know what's funny? I said, well, the stars and people with money do it, so we must be superstars.
Yeah.
We're doing it too.
Exactly.
And I just rocked with that. I stopped thinking about it afterwards. Because I feel like if you focus your attention and your energy on the age and how things played out, instead of the fact that you have a loving mom,
mm-hmm.
you have a loving family, your mom
mm-hmm.
is blessed to have you, don't focus on the negative. Focus on all the positive. Focus on the blessings that you guys are to each other.
Yeah. And it's not about outwardly appearances anyway. Just think about mm-hmm. the love that you feel for your mother and your siblings. You know, they're 22 mm-hmm. when you were born. They could be the type, oh, I don't want to be around this child, you know. I got better things to do. But think of all the times that they took you to the mall. I'm sure they've done that. I'm sure they took you to places where you probably wouldn't go because mom and dad are too tired. But they were able to do that. Just concentrate on those memories. Concentrate on the love that you have between yourselves, not the look. It's not about looks, because, you know, when it's all said and done and we're in heaven, we're all going to be 21 years old.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
yeah. That's the number I'm shooting for.
Oh, well, I think this, I know, this is just beautiful. And listeners, I can tell you without a shadow of a doubt, I think I'm sure I mentioned it earlier, this is a beautiful couple. You know, I know them, they're just absolutely beautiful. And you know, what you hear right now, this is just who they are. And I have to say, I thank you both so much for your transparency. And I'm sure that you are certainly helping and blessing a lot of people. And I bet I'm going to go back to Pastor Emmanuel. I bet he has some comments. Pastor, are you there?
I'm here.
Yeah, I just wanted to, you know, I always want to make sure you're included. So I'm practicing inclusion right now.
Can I just say something real quick?
Mm-hmm,
can I just say something real quick before Pastor Emmanuel starts? You know, he was there for my first my surgery during when I had colon cancer. Yeah, and this man is always at the highlights of my life ever since I've known him. He was there for my surgery, and now he's there for the first time that I'm on the radio.
And no, don't forget, you skipped. He was there for the birth of our daughter, and he was there for the birth of our son.
Yeah, and there for the birth of my daughter and son. Wow. I love you, Pastor Emmanuel.
Yes, we do.
Thank you there, Walter.
That's so beautiful. Oh, my goodness. And yes, he's just a beautiful person. We're always blessed when we have him on.
Yes, he is.
Wow. So this has just been a wonderful, wonderful show. I am just so delighted that you all were, you know, able and available to share, because I know many have certainly been blessed. And so, Pastor, I didn't know if you wanted to say anything, but if not, that's okay. You can continue listening.
Well, I would just like to affirm again that Walter's walk with the Lord has made all of the difference in the world in being a husband and being a father, and certainly it illustrates that the Bible is true. If you live according to it, you will experience God's blessings. And both Walter and his wife can affirm that by serving the Lord and making every effort to live in accordance with his word, that he will guide you and help you through whatever challenges may come your way. And I can tell you that both Walter and his wife are greatly respected at the church they attend, and they are looked as being examples of a Christian husband and wife and father and mother. And so without that, I'm sure Walter would say if he didn't know the Lord and had married the second time and had a second group, I think it would be an altogether different ballgame. But thanks be to God, he and his wife are believers, and that has made the difference.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well said.
Absolutely beautiful. And I'm just, again, I am so delighted that you all have had an opportunity to spend some time with us, because I'm sure a lot of people have been, you know, encouraged and inspired and blessed. Like I said, whether they have gone through this already, or perhaps if they will go through it, then they'll know how to, you know, avoid some of the negativity. And as I mentioned earlier, too, you know, I like to try, you know, somehow, some way, when faced with negative situations, to somehow try to find, you know, some kind of humor to kind of lighten it up. Mm-hmm. And, of course, you know, because if we dwell constantly on the negative or some of the negative that other people speak, and try to speak over us, then that is going to certainly affect our spirit. So we have to just rebuke that that negative talk and, know who we are in Christ and walk, you know, according to what we know, okay? We could have facts that say something, but the truth is totally different. And so we have to continue to walk in truth. Well, wow. Oh, my goodness. Again, thank you all so much for joining us. And you know what? I just really have to applaud you both just for who you are.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
And certainly for your transparency. Thank you so much. Well, everyone, again, we are going to kind of cruise into closing here. Unless Walter and Zinga, did you all have anything in closing you wanted to say? I just wanted to make sure you were able to share everything that you were able to do in the next couple of minutes. And if not,
I don't have anything. I just want to thank you for the opportunity to come and to share. I didn't think I had anything to offer when you first spoke to me, but it's been a wonderful experience, and I'm glad that someone could be blessed by what we've shared today.
Same for me. It was an honor to be here, and thank you for the opportunity and just making it easy for us to pull out and pull out the information and be transparent with your audience.
Wonderful. Well, thank you all again. Thank you guys for listening to our show each week. We really do appreciate it. Thank you for those that, even if you were joining us for the first time, we appreciate that. And I hope it won't be the last time. And thanks for sharing our link and just sharing our show with others. We know that we are our goal is to make Polite Place to Live. We know we can only do that one person at a time, and we can only do that with your help as well, okay? And our loyal listeners, we just love you and we just appreciate you. Remember, if you have an etiquette question or if you have a topic you'd like to hear us cover in the future, please be sure to let us know, okay? And never tire of loyalty and kindness. Hold these virtues tightly. Write them deep within your heart. If you've listened to me over once, you know that that's one of my favorite proverbs. It comes from Proverbs 3:3. Also, I like to say, feel good about yourself, be considerate of others, and be the best you can be. And I always say if you don't feel good about yourself, you're unlikely to be considerate to others. And if you're not being considerate and kind to others, then you know what? Think about it. You're really not being the best that you can be, okay? All right, so please remember that. Initiate an act of kindness this week. Next week is have a happy, happy, and safe holiday weekend on next week. And we'll see you, or we will speak with you in what? 2 weeks. Okay, so have a wonderful, wonderful, enjoy the rest of your weekend and have a wonderful week, okay? Good night, take care, and God bless.
Thanks for listening to What is Etiquette Anyway, the talk show. Please join us again next time as we will discuss another exciting topic.